All right, I promised I would deal with depression again this week and talk a little bit about culture. I had a very interesting experience with someone, as I understand, is on psychotropic drugs, trying to get off, but has to when a panic attack shows up. And it really some amazing. I mean, I tell you what, this guy is absolutely amazing. Just his ability, his talents, his genius is off the charts. I'm going to tell you some grievances that he has with Taiwan. We're cool to share this stuff. I'm not going to give his name, but I'm quite sure that I could, and he'd be glad to. There's no embarrassment here. He's Christian, and he doesn't live in shame. He's happy to tell his story to inspire others. He's really at peace with himself. And while he has a problem with the culture doing things, and those things throw him into a panic attack where he has to take emergency psychotropic drugs, he's genuinely not angry and doesn't hold a grudge. He just doesn't want to see it happening. Really amazing person. Now, he's got a counselor, but he's been talking to Jesse, talking him through stuff. And, you know, in Taiwan, psychology really is a joke. Of course, my mother would as she said once, with church matters, the jury is guilty. The reason why Taiwan is so terrible at psychology is because the inmates are running the asylum. Everyone in Taiwan is crazy in a sense because they all have Stockholm syndrome and walk around carrying Asian shame. So there are people that do crazy, insane things, outright histrionic megalomania, and nobody cares because crazy is the old normal in Taiwan, but the younger generation's getting fed up with it. So as much as I don't like to look at psychology where the Bible is useful, I really believe in Christian psychology, I suppose some people call it, but pardon the jargonishness there. I really believe that Bible ideas and psychology can go together, no problem. I mean, Oswald Chambers, you know, My Utmost for His Highest, the famous Christian devotional, he started a lot of this quote unquote Christian psychology stuff. He started a school where people studied it. So I don't like psychiatry if we can avoid it. I kind of don't like pharmacy in general if we can avoid it, but it can be useful. Pharmacy is not the evil of the world. People that run it for the money might be, but that's another question. All right, I've digressed enough. But this guy, he said that it really bothered him that his fellow classmates have no vision. All his friends only want to obey their parents, to study for a test, regardless of understanding, because becoming an engineer is the only way to make money. And it's like everybody's following a dream that someone told them to follow. What was that? Wasn't it in Avatar, The Last Airbender, where Zuko is talking about fulfilling his destiny, and his uncle, who kind of plays the conscience role, you know, different characters have a role in a story, and his uncle is kind of the conscience that sets him back on track again and again. Really, really love the uncle character in Avatar, The Last Airbender. I loved all the characters. It really was well written. But his uncle says, "Your destiny, or the destiny that someone else told you to have?" And see, in Taiwan, they're all living a destiny someone else told them to have. The Foxconn founder, just like Bloomberg and, my goodness, Steyer, who should be running for the RNC nomination, we had our own billionaire idiot. Foxconn tried to run for president against the party that sells out to China, kind of. At least that's how they're seen. I want to be respectful for people that disagree. The last president, Ma, Chiang Kai-shek, the guy who founded the party, the last president from that party, basically tried to sell out the country to China, kind of. Lot of loss of respect there. They've got some good old people in the party that want peace, but it's a disaster falling apart. Anyhow, the Foxconn founder tried to run for that failing party's nomination, and he got totally stomped at the primaries. Guo Taiming, Terry Guo. It should be Terry Guo, but he spells it Guo, so that's why I'm going to say it. That's the guy, the Foxconn founder CEO, Terry Guo. That's the guy who said at the local university I mentioned yesterday, the U of M of Taiwan-ish. He said at that university's graduation, just after Steve Jobs died, don't listen to Steve Jobs, who made him rich via Foxconn contracts, by the way. Don't listen to Steve Jobs when he says that he followed his passions and you should too at Stanford. My father told me, don't become a writer. Instead, become a businessman. I became a businessman and look at me now. That's what he had to say at the graduation after Steve Jobs died, the guy that made him rich. And I, you know, it's a sad failed idiot thing. He lived a dream that someone else gave him. And yeah, he made a lot of money, but he didn't invent anything. All he did was build phones the way Apple told him to. And he's got a lot of factories in China, failed presidential candidate, put a factory in Wisconsin. Then what happened to that governor? Got cozied up with Taipei's mayor. That didn't go too well. The guy's been, he had success at one thing following someone else's dream and then totally bombed and embarrassed himself at everything else. And so my buddy here that's dealing with panic attacks is really, really grieved at the fact that he can't get along with his classmates because they're all living a dream that their parents are telling them to, cramming for tests without understanding the content. Literally, they just want to get the answers right. They really believe that trying to understand the material is a waste of time. So, and as I said last week, you know, he's all excited about chemistry questions and seeing this work and why does that bubble? And I'm just trying to live my life, but he's just fascinated with any ability to learn anything real because there's no learning in Taiwan. So that's a thing. I've got another buddy at another school. He's been learning a bunch of different languages and programming languages, not C language. I'm not going to bore you with that again. But he's been learning other things, and he's been studying how to make a career for himself using languages in an unconventional way. So it's just kind of fascinating for me to watch and observe what's happening with education in Taiwan. There is an awakening of people that want to learn actually, people that want to get skills that will actually work. There are some people wanting to follow their dreams. There's not many, but there are some. And as I'm here and I talk to people, you know, I said I'd talk about depression today. One other guy, orphan, your fatherless since 10. He went to an orphanage. His mom was in a hospital of some kind. I think it's a mental hospital. Not sure. Think so. She's permanently in the hospital though. 23 now, totally living on his own. One of the things that came up, and I gave him some advice because I've been through depression myself. He's dealing with this, trying to survive this culture in Taiwan, trying to figure out where to go in his life. And one of the things I told him about depression, I'm not going to tell him, get over it. Remember, like I said several months ago, I was talking about depression. I said, no one can get over depression until the person tells themselves. No one else can tell them this. It's cruel. But the person has to get to a point where the depressed person, the person going through depression, tells themselves, I've got to get over it. That's how we come out of depression. The person arrives at that themselves. You can tell someone you're not going to get over this until you arrive at that and want to say that to yourself. That's where this ends. You can tell someone that, but you cannot tell the person. Maybe it's a good idea. Maybe, you know, that is how it ends. You know, that, by the way, just so you know, but you cannot give any pressure or suggestion at all to say, you got to get over it, man. That is not your place. It's as much as it might seem like it, maybe by accident someone could hear it, but if you're aware of this, don't do that. It's better to just be the reporter and say, by the way, people who get out of this, they tell themselves to get over it. That's one way this goes. Well, my advice to this guy was, it's okay to feel sad, really, really sad. You know, I got to say, I admire this guy because he knows he needs a family. A lot of times the orphan complex is, I don't need a family. I don't need anyone to teach me. I'm fine. I'll do it on my own. And they go through life not knowing how to do all these obvious things that people with a mom and dad teach them to do. And it's just really embarrassing because they never try to learn. Well, this guy actually knows that he needs a family. So that's really great. He's really sad about it. And, you know, I explain, well, you know, people with families also have problems. You're just changing one set of problems for another. So, you know, but I said, you've also got a family. He's Christian, a very strong Christian. I said, you've got a family in another sense. And maybe you'll understand that better than others. And you can help a lot of people. Don't give up. Those are some words I had for him. I'm not telling his business. I'm telling what I said. But another thing, too, the last advice I gave him, and he's moving out of town for a while. You know, it's shifting phases in his life. The last advice that I gave him was, it's okay to be sad. It's totally fine. And it's okay to just sit and do nothing at times. Not forever. You got to work. Be productive, learn, build your future, pay your bills. You have to work. If you never work at all, then that's bordering on crazy. That's going into the crazy zone. But at times, as long as it doesn't interfere with paying the bills or learning to improve your future, it's fine to do nothing and reflect. It's fine to feel sad, one. It's fine to do nothing at times, two. But it is wrong. It is morally wrong to feel sad and do nothing at the same time for a long time. And if you're doing that, now we're talking Christian here. I said, you've got to repent. You have to tell God, you have to feel bad about this. And like, I don't want, not like feel horrible about it, but you've got to decide, I don't want this. And tell God you're sorry for feeling sad and doing nothing at the same time. If you feel sad, at least learn something. Go for a walk. But don't just sit all by yourself, do nothing, and feel bad, because that will spiral and spiral and spiral and spiral and spiral and get out of hand. Do motion. Go take a walk down the hallway while you feel sad. Stand up. Get up. Don't just lie down and die. If you've got a shock to the head, is this true medically? If you have a shock to the head and you fall asleep, it can kill you? Maybe, like if it's severe enough, like keeping someone conscious under certain circumstances is a way to save them from going into a coma. So I'm not sure about that, but there might be times when someone's really depressed and they're really sad, doing nothing while feeling sad can cause a spiral. And I just said, don't do that. Learn something, work something, play guitar, do something. Don't feel really, really sad and do absolutely nothing. Smoking cigarettes is doing nothing. Don't do those things at the same time. So that was my word for him, and he accepted it. He gladly accepted it. So you're depressed. When you're depressed, you're sad and you want to be alone, but that's like saying that alcohol is a solution to being addicted to alcohol. You know, you have an urge for something, but just because you have an urge for something doesn't mean that something is necessarily healthy. Be near to the brokenhearted and make sure that people around you are more alive after seeing you. But to do that, you got to be alive yourself. So maybe just focus on yourself, not what you need, but your own problems, so you can see clearly to be a positive inspiration to other people. But it comes with cleaning your own house first. See you next week.